Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Poetisch, leidenschaftlich, pur, rein und einfach grandios produziert. An all das denke ich, wenn ich an die Musik von James Bay denke, im Generellen, aber besonders bei seinem neuen Album Changes All The Time. Fantastisches Album mit ganz fantastischen Singles, tourt er gerade durch die Welt und er hat dann natürlich auch mal bei uns Halt gemacht. Ich habe ihn getroffen und er hat mir verraten, wie ihm persönlich dieses Album über eine ganz schwere Zeit geholfen hat. Und er hat verraten, das war's noch lange nicht mit neuer Musik. All das und noch ganz viel mehr in diesem Gespräch. Freue ich mich, wenn er dabei bleibt. Und James Bay kennt er übrigens hier vorne, um euch mal in die Stimmung zu bringen. Come on, let it go. Up on I from Changes All The Time, your latest record. We'll talk about that later, if it's okay.
Sure.
First, let's talk about tour.
Yeah.
How is it? You just started, but how is it?
Oh, it's really fantastic. It's nice to be back. I think a January tour is always it's always welcome. It's nice. You know, January's a strange time for loads of people. It's a strange month because things often, I think in music and a lot of the arts, like it takes a minute for things to get going and everybody's kind of starting to think about doing anything usually in February. So to have had this tour booked and so many of these, you know, shows ready to go, obviously, at the top of the year has been a pleasure. It always is. I haven't done lots and lots of January tours, but it's just really nice to be sort of back out and, you know, we haven't been to Europe properly and into Germany since, I think, 2022, really.
Oh, wow.
So
been a minute.
I think that's right. Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be back. We played in Berlin last night. It was incredible. What a fantastic crowd, always.
I'm so sad that I had to miss this.
That's okay. Next time.
We missed each other because we're in Hamburg next, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was in Hamburg during the weekend visiting my godson, and I was like, okay, then I'm gonna miss James Bay, and then we missed each other.
Okay.
So, but yeah, lovely. Are you like? I can imagine that people are like hungry going to shows again. Like, you know, we had December, nobody's coming in December, and maybe not in November. And it's like, yay, we're getting ready for next tour.
That's the feeling. A lot of people are saying, you know, are sort of posting things and saying, our first show of 2025.
Yeah.
It's great to see. You know, and it's just really nice to, yeah, sort of shake everybody up and shake myself up and start the year with shows and, of course, with the new songs and the new album. Like, it's a nice, I think, you know what, as time goes on, I'm more and more sort of tapped into the feeling that my fans, they still love this music from my first record and some of the stuff from my second and my third. But I mentioned the first because it's the oldest. And this tour is the Up All Night tour. It's the tour for the music from Changes All The Time, the new album. So there is a duty for myself and for the fans to really play songs from this new record.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean they don't want
old
stuff or the oldest stuff. So it's a really nice mix during the show. And it's, I think, again, because the old stuff is 10 years old now, you can really tell the difference of a lot of fans in the room are like, oh my God, it's this one. I've loved this song for years and years and years. And then there's a curiosity towards the new music. There's excitement as well, but it's different.
But how amazing that they've been like on this road with you together all these years. I mean, that's just such a privilege. It's amazing.
It feels very special.
Yeah, I can imagine. How many hours of sleep did you get? I mean, we can be transparent. It's 9:30 in the morning. So.
I got like a 6.
You know, 6 hours of sleep? Oh,
6 hours of sleep.
That's okay.
That felt good. I mean, in Berlin, I think you could easily have an incredible time and get no sleep.
No sleep. Yeah, for sure.
It is a city that doesn't sleep if it doesn't want to.
For sure. How is Berlin like as a crowd? Is there like a typical crowd? Is there a typical mood, energy?
You know, it's a good question. Something I really like about Berlin. Berlin as a crowd, and maybe it's the same for some of the other German audiences I've played to, but Berlin, they are two things. They are the thing I want from a crowd that I am. And they are the thing I want from a crowd that I am not. The thing I want from a crowd that I am is very attentive, and they listen, and they want to focus in on details, and you know, kind of go quiet in the quiet moments and get crazy. This is the bit. This is the other bit. When I want them to get crazy and go loud, I'm terrible at doing that as an audience. I shouldn't say this, but because I'm a hypocrite, you know, because I ask them, "Hey, come on, let's go wild," like, and they and Berlin are really
they
good.
They deliver.
They're really good at letting loose, but they also, they kind of arrived into the venue. Amazing. Really as like the coolest people I've ever seen.
Amazing. So, yeah. And really being in the moment, I wouldn't have described the Berlin crowd like that, because, you know, with all these phones up and everyone filming all the time, but being and not being in the moment because you're like watching it through your screen. But amazing that it's like that's different.
It's a nice balance, actually. They've got a really great balance, because look, in this day and age, I do not mind at all if people want to film bits of the set.
For sure.
And obviously post them and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they also strike a good balance of like, often I don't see your phones up and I see hands in the air, and you know, that's a really lovely thing.
Oh, lovely. That sounds really cool. And then you also do these like surprise songs. I mean, we label it now. It was Everburn in Berlin, if I researched it correct.
Oh, no. Everburn? No, I didn't sing Everburn. What did they hear that was new? No, I didn't play Everburn. No. I should do that.
I saw TikTok, because maybe TikTok is not the perfect thing to research.
Yeah. And,
I don't know. But I saw it. He sang Everburn in Berlin as a surprise song. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to take that.
That's fair enough. That's confusing.
Were you at the same show?
Yeah, I'm wondering if somebody was at a different show.
Yeah, maybe
bizarre.
That
I will.
Was it.
No, but I'm trying to... we played Speed Limit, and that hadn't been on the set list, and that's a new one that hadn't been on the set list. So, yeah, I'm trying to sort of drop in new stuff, and it's always wonderful, really, that there are certain fans on social media who are really trying to track the set lists and see what
love
was played
it.
And what might get played next. I love all that.
Love it. I'm in those rabbit holes way too deep.
That's okay.
How important is it for you to do these little like changes for yourself, and how spontaneously is it?
It can be. I tell you what, on this tour, I've really enjoyed the way that sound checks have stopped being sound checks, and they've become mini rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
Because my band are fantastic, and they are very willing and keen to learn more and more new music. In fact, there's even newer music than this album, Changed All the Time. And we have been yesterday in sound check, and maybe even today, we'll see. We've been getting together an even newer song.
So
the guys are very willing and very excited to do that kind of thing, and it comes together quite fast. So I try and do all that stuff pretty quick and on the fly. And especially if there are moments in the set where I'm up there on my own and you know, doing something solo, often I'll change my mind in the moment. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like on the spot. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, but how amazing is it that you with your band and you allow yourself like this is possible, and you had to just to free yourself from all this.
It is freeing. It is very freeing, because you know what? It's wonderful to curate a set list that you're going to take out on tour and do night after night. And I'm quite happy to do that. I mean, like lots of acts, and the crowd reaction's amazing. But then, you know, 4 or 5 nights in, it's the same.
For sure.
15 songs. And it's nice to just surprise myself and, you know.
And the fans.
Yeah, exactly. And just, it's sometimes there's an extra thrill to like doing something that you're not as confident with, but, you know, or as familiar with, but you know that you know.
Yeah, for sure. I love this trend. Also doing like the covers we do have a lot of, as you said, the sound checks where like artists covers like their favorite songs on the radio station just right now. And then they put it in a set list and everyone loves it. And I think that's just so much fun.
I really enjoy doing that kind of thing. Yeah, it's always fun.
How is bringing changes all the time on the road now? How do you feel on stage with all these very personal songs and new songs?
I feel good. You know, I know this audience because they're my audience of 10 years now. So I trust that they trust me, and there's a sort of decades worth of connection there. And so I that helps me love the songs that, you know, the new songs even more. I write from a place of intense vulnerability because outside of songwriting, I find it very difficult to express my sort of vulnerable side. And then there's this sort of moment where we share some kind of with some kind of sixth sense. I'll sing a song that's full of metaphors or maybe very direct lyrics, and without discussing it as such, I can see and feel a connection between myself and my fans. And I'm feeling that in the room with these new songs, because they've spent a couple of months with them, and the first album they've spent 10 years with. But it feels as potent and powerful a connection I mean,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it, maybe even more. I don't know.
Yeah, but that is like that's the thing of music, like what, and especially live music. I mean, that's what it like as it should be. Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially Up All Night. I think we heard it in a snippet of it. I think. Well, in my opinion, when I heard it first, I was like, okay, this is born to be a live song, right? Did you write it with live shows in mind?
So much, yeah, so much. Yeah, no, I it really felt like it was born to be a live song. It's one of the rare moments in the studio for me where, so when I go to the studio, all the songs are prepared. They're written. Typically, they are written.
By yourself, or do you sometimes
Well,
me
and friends, you know, sometimes I co-write.
But that's
sometimes
separate from the recording process.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 times it has always been separate. Uh-huh. You know why? Because studios are really expensive. Yes. And like the more time you spend, the more money it costs to be in there. And that's anxiety inducing. So I try and go in there prepared. Mm-hmm. And this time making this record, I worked with a good friend, Gabe Simon, who's really good at knowing how to kind of get me to push boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And
amazing.
And he just said, listen, like at the start of the 3 or 4 weeks that we spent in the studio making changes all the time, he said, look, if in the spur of the moment, you know, we're inspired to write something, will you like promise me that we can just follow it? Because because like I've said to you, my issue is I have this anxiety that we're wasting expensive time. maybe writing something that might suck, you know, 9 out of 10 times, of course, it's not easy to write a great song.
No, you can't do it every day, every minute.
It's not easy to write a song that you want to keep.
Sure.
Anyway, I said, yeah, absolutely. Let's sort of promise ourselves that. And Up All Night was very much written in a couple of hours. It came very quickly.
Wow.
It felt very. Gabe has seen me play live, and Gabe has been a live performer himself in his past, and we share a very similar energy in that respect. So we got very excited in the first moment of coming up with the guitar riff, and then we were away. And yeah, I absolutely think about everything I write and everything I record, but particularly just when I'm writing something in that initial instant, I think about how it'll go over live. Yeah. I think about how I'll play it live. Yeah. And Up All Night, yeah, it was born to be live.
Yeah, it
live
really
thing.
Came across the first time I heard it.
I'm really glad it feels like that. And, you know, I'm quite proud that I can sort of put my hand on my heart and say every time I hear it that it does sound like that to me too.
Yeah, amazing. So was it the first song that you wrote and recorded for the album?
Good question. It wasn't the first song. it's funny, actually. The first song that we recorded was Hope. And it didn't work. So Hope was also the last song that we recorded. It's funny. I think you go into the studio to make a record and you're trying to find a flow and a sound and a way to do things in that moment in the studio, because every moment in the studio is different. And you have to start somewhere. So we started with Hope. And that first go at recording Hope was our trial, and we worked out all the ways that we liked to work and all the ways that we didn't like, and then we moved on to another song. And the whole time we thought, Hope it didn't feel right. The song was written, but it didn't record. We didn't record it right. So yeah, we came back and did it last as well.
Wow.
But Hope is where we started, and it's sort of, I'm very okay with saying that we had to go again. We had to have a second attempt at recording it to get it to sound the way that it sounds, and I love it.
Amazing. But also that, like, the way of working sounds really freed. And I think also hearing the record, I think you sound really freed. All these topics, like,
thanks,
very just personal, just pouring them out. And also, like, just the recording, like, the, I don't know, which song was it, where you mic'd up all the, like, the hallway. And then you have these beautiful echoes. And I'm like, amazing.
Yeah.
Just to, I don't know, you have to be, like, so you and passionate about what you, and convinced about what you're doing, that you, like, have an idea of, let's just do it. And then it gets into the record. I mean, it's amazing.
Thank you. I think in Gabe's company, you know, I felt and at that in that moment in the studio, I felt safe enough to try that stuff. But I also asked myself, can I allow myself to sort of trust?
Because
in the past, and I think always, it's easy to second guess and carry a load of anxiety about, well, how will it be received? Stop thinking about that. Just make stuff. And try and just lose yourself in the enjoyment. And hopefully that will be received well, but you cannot ever manufacture a reaction or control it. Some People was written.
Yeah.
That was written in the studio on the last day. We were making sure everything was right, and we knew we had part of that song. And we knew we wanted it, and we wanted to sort of finish it. And it didn't take us long to finish the song, and it always felt like it would be a simple kind of acoustic guitar and vocal thing. And for weeks and weeks, we'd been in this studio. It's an old school building in the middle of St. John's Wood in London. So it's got a really kind of old architecture kind of feel to it. And it means, obviously, that he's got these big kind of boxy hallways and stairwells, and they were very echoey. And it was about 1 a.m. on the last day before we finished. We'd been there all day and all night into the following morning, and then we set up all these mics that we sort of wired down the hallway from the control room, and we used there's no, for any sort of production geeks out there, there's no fake reverb on that recording. It's all just very real.
Amazing, love it. So what paved the way for this kind of like freedom or in self like confident and for this trusting?
Great question. I think I was exhausted by my own anxiety.
I present myself.
I present myself in all the ways that I sort of think I should, as confident and as calm and certain and assured. But I carry immense uncertainty about whether I'm making the right choice, whether I'm doing, you know, my best. And it just accumulates to a lot of kind of indecision, and it gets boring. It gets very
it's
heavy.
Stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, very stuck, very heavy, very boring. And it's because I never thought that the things that I really love to do, which is play guitar solos and write guitar riffs and be a real sort of music geek in that way, and I thought that people, I wasted time wondering even whether people don't like that and whether there's a version of me that I need to sort of keep to inside some very sort of narrow lines that is the one that they like. I stopped caring.
Because you can't control it.
Yeah, exactly. So I tried to start not caring anymore or at least as much. And that's how I sort of accessed this sense of kind of more freedom and a more freeing experience and process than I've ever had before. And I almost want to, it's made me want to sort of run back into the studio. And we did actually do that. Yeah, we've been back in the studio since, and I take it seriously, and I try and sort of make sure I'm sort of following something I love at all times. But I just chase it. I chase things down for the love of loving them, not for wondering if it's something that I can love that someone else will love.
Yeah, and that has so much to do with you and what you can control and what you can do and what like, and then of course it connects with other people because you can't, as I said, you can't control any other thing than that. And I think this is like what really comes across hearing this album
and hearing
these songs, especially, I mean, you touch a little bit on it on Dogfight, which brought me to tears, because I was really like, oh my God, I needed this. There was a time when I really needed that song, and I was wondering if that is a song that you wrote for yourself in a time that where you really needed,
I've needed it for a long time. I've needed it for so many years, and I'm glad I've written it because I can always go to it. If, you know, it's quite a scary prospect what that song is saying I need to do, because I'm not necessarily doing it all the time. There's the hypocrite again, you know. I love the connection it's had with people. We've been playing it at the end of the set as well, which has been really wonderful, powerful moment. God, I needed that song, and I need it a lot. And I don't live up to all the lyrics all the time, but I'm glad I've sort of set them in stone in reality, so that I can sort of go to them. There's something a bit prayer-like about that song for me. I might never be as good as what the words are sort of saying, but I can use them as a sort of target to sort of reach.
Yeah, mantra, like manifesting just like reminding yourself, reflecting on where, like, do I like the person right now? Is there still things I can do to,
It ends with a sort of, its own sort of little mantra of the words, it's going to be all right. They kind of go round and round. And like, sometimes I have to say that with blind faith and no certainty. as to whether anything will be okay or all right.
Yeah.
And sometimes you sort of have to, I think humanity and sort of existence seems to be saying those words in the face of not knowing.
Yeah.
That's something we do all the time. It'll be okay. And we don't always know.
Mm.
But of course, optimism is just better than pessimism.
And you do have, you are grown and you do have more tools than you had before to make it okay. And to just sit with being not okay.
Yes,
that's also a tool that you have.
That song is for those moments as much as it's for trying to be better.
Yeah.
Trying to feel more okay.
Yeah. In which way did the song help you, if you want to give it away?
Well, it helped me with all the things I've just said. It helped me accept that I can be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And as the person that I sort of really am underneath and not necessarily mm-hmm. just as the person that I strive to be for others, that I strive to be for particular reactions. Mm-hmm. That's how it continues to help me. And I'm not all the way to where I want to be with those things yet. I'm not there.
I think nobody.
It's
all the time.
But that song helps me kind of keep reaching for to get closer to a sort of place that I want to, that I think I'll be able to kind of rest. I'm not resting yet.
Yeah. But amazing. But congratulations for, I don't know, doing this song, for being on that journey, for also,
thank you.
That's just amazing.
No, I really appreciate it. And I can feel that something in that song sort of got to you. And that means a lot. I have to strike a balance. It's all about balance again. Like, I have to strike a balance where I can sort of go with the flow of, you know, people quite constantly throughout my sort of professional life saying, I love that song. It really moved me. Thank you. And I have to normalize that to a degree, but I never completely do. And I never completely will, because it's an incredibly powerful thing that we've never met before. And I wrote a song a while ago that you heard recent while ago. And it's moved you in this way, and there's been a connection, and that's incredibly sort of magical. That's the magic of music, I guess.
It is, 100%. So let's talk about new music real quick, because I think we're running out of time.
Oh,
but it was a real I just love it.
I could go on.
Me too. I'd love to talk to you. Yeah. I don't know, for hours. There's a new song coming up. We were lucky enough. We already heard it.
Brilliant.
It is.
Oh, it's called
Sunshine in the Room.
Yeah.
31st of January.
Yeah, I wrote this song a little while ago, and it always, it needed like one extra thing. And a little while ago, we kind of set our sights on the incredible John Batiste. And I didn't know John, and we had to just hope and pray that if we sent him the song, it took a minute to kind of get the courage to send him the song.
Why?
Well, because he might have not liked it.
Okay. Rejection, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But very luckily and wonderfully, he liked it a lot, and he came. We all met in Nashville in Tennessee in America. He came and recorded it with me, and he absolutely kind of set it on fire.
Like,
he really sort of lit up the studio and the whole process and the experience, and it's like ready to go now. And actually, we've been learning it on tour in the sound checks. We've been learning it, and I'm very excited for it. It feels like a really sort of simple and sort of straightforward and kind of but beautiful sort of inspired and a metaphor for like loving someone and expressing to them how they light up your life. It's all about that. And John was really incredible at like bringing all his best selves to this song.
Amazing. Maybe one last question. What did he bring to the table and bring out in you that the song needed?
More freedom.
Even more freedom?
More freedom. Sometimes I go at making music with a lot of intensity, and I'm okay with it. I'm used to it. You know, I feel safe and okay a lot of the time, wading in kind of intense waters, so to speak. But John kind of taught me to relax and enjoy a little bit more, if not a lot more, and really like be very fluid with my sort of musical ability. Yeah, he because that's everything that he is. He said to me at one point in the studio, he said, "I learned everything you could learn." You know, and by that he means reading and writing music, all the different styles, all the techniques, all the technical abilities. He said, "I learned everything that you can learn." And then I realized that it's all just about feel. It's all it's really about is feel, you know, expressing how you feel. And he's the kind of epitome and the great example at the moment, and the newest and the sort of freshest example of that in music. And it really kind of rubs off on other people. I think it rubbed off on me.
Amazing, wise words. And you can really hear it. It's like a really new sound. I love that.
Thank you.
Ah, amazing.
Ach, was war das für ein schönes Gespräch. Schön, dass ihr mit dabei geblieben seid. Vielen, vielen Dank dafür. Und wenn ihr sowas nicht mehr verpassen wollt, dann folgt uns doch am besten auf eurer Lieblingspodcast-Plattform. Da gibt's irgendwo so einen Button, folgen, und dann steht da im besten Fall folgst du. Und dann werdet ihr nämlich benachrichtigt, sobald eine neue Folge hier online kommt. Da freuen wir uns. Bis dahin.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.